Thank you, Lottie. Thank you, Hannah. I always feel very self-conscious switching my telephone on at this stage, but this is where my notes are, so I'm not making a telephone call, I promise you. Right, we had a show of hands previously as to how many dads we had in the congregation today. How many dads have we got here who've got kids with them? And guys, come and join us. Come back this way so you can be in the body of the church. Look, we've even left some seats there for you. So, dads with children, would you like to come forward? Bringing your children with you, if you'd like to. And I appreciate that, Dave, on the sound desk, you may find it a bit difficult. Okay, and I'm going to have to excuse you, I think. Ah, you go and sit with Mama, darling, because I can't do this. And this is definitely unfair. You've got an advantage here, Steve. You've got that many of them. Hey, some more dads. Brilliant. Well, I thought it would be really good to have a bit of a competition to see who is the best dad, because if I ask all these young people, who's the best dad in the whole world? Who's the best dad in the whole world? Oh, there's a hesitation there. Who's the best daddy in the whole world? Oh, yes, we got to vote for that one. Who's the best dad in? You see? So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the best, 5, and they're all the best daddies. So we've got to sort them out somehow, haven't we? So I thought we'd have a bit of a competition. So we could have some keepy-uppies and maybe a bit of goalkeeping practice.
You can vote for him.
We could do a few dumbbell curls. And maybe we could have a running race up and down the church. And, you know, that way we're sure to find out who really is the best daddy. But unfortunately, I don't think our insurers would really like that. There's a definite liability problem going on here. So instead of that, we're going to have a little question. You can share that question between the three of you. Come up with an answer. You come up with an answer to that one. You won't be able to read my writing, will you? Can you read my writing? It's reasonably legible. Now, while the children are thinking of the answers to those questions, we've got questions for the dads as well. I'm not going to let the children see what these ones are. Now, have we got answers to our questions? And these questions come in the form of a sentence, which the children and the dads then have to complete. So, never work with children or animals. Okay, who's going to... Hannah.
Okay. My dad is the best because, A, he plays the drums, and B, he's very lenient.
Okay. Steve is the best because he plays the drums and he's lenient. Ooh. No, Amy.
My daddy is the best because he's always there for us.
Ah. Why is your daddy the best? Can you tell us?
Yes.
You can tell us, but you're not going to. Yes. He just is. Aww. He is the best dad because he is. Why is your dad the best dad?
Because he's kind.
Ah, because he's kind. And why is your dad the best dad?
Because he buys me things.
Because he buys me things. Okay, now we get to the dads. They've got a different question.
I love my daughters even when... ... they're awake.
I love my daughter even when she won't practice the piano.
I love my daughter even when she comes in at 5 a.m. and says, "Is it time to get up now?"
Oh, that's a long shot.
I love my daughters even when they're tearing lumps out of each other.
I love my daughter even when she wants me to do something I don't want to do.
Oh, there we go. Well, some interesting answers, but you get the impression that there are different reasons why people are the best dads. Okay, to give them a big hand, you go and sit down again, guys. Do you get the impression that some of those might have been the polite answers? I think there might be a whole sort of another layer of answers underneath that if we were to dig down. But let's just think about the father in the story today. Now, it's normally known as the story of the prodigal son, but it has two other names which are less well known. The first is the waiting father, and the second is the running father. The waiting father is obvious because it says in the story he was waiting for his son. It doesn't say it in as many words, but we're told that when the son was still a long way off, the father saw him. So from that, we know that the father was waiting, was looking out for his son. So that's why it's called the waiting father. It's called the running father. It does tell us that he ran, because it says the father ran to meet him. But what we don't necessarily know is that it would have been very, very unusual in those days for a father to run. Now, I remember when I was little asking my father if he would run with me or run a race against me or whatever it was. And the answer was always, oh, no, I can't. I've got a bone in my leg. Okay, hands up, fathers who have used that excuse. But it would have been very, very unseemly for a father to run. And so in the story, when Jesus told it, that really would have struck a chord with the people who were listening. Now, the son went away and he squandered his money. Where did he get the money? He got the money from his father. It's not just like Lottie coming to me and saying, Daddy, can I have my pocket money, please? The son, the younger son, actually said, give me what is due to me. Give me my inheritance. What he's actually saying there is he is saying to his father, I wish you were dead. Because that traditionally is when a son would get the inheritance. So that child, that son in the story today, said to his father effectively, I wish you were dead. And then he took his money and he went to a foreign land and squandered it. Now, I'm sure we all spend time trying to persuade our children to save money, to be wise money, you know, with their money. It's an incredibly difficult lesson to teach them. It's a difficult lesson to learn. And in biblical times, to squander a family's wealth was a heinous, heinous crime. They actually had a special ceremony which they would perform to show a child who wasted the family fortune that they were now an outcast. They would get a big bowl, they would fill it with nuts and things like that and heat it all up, and then they would smash it. And that was effectively a way of cutting ties with the child who had squandered the family fortune. So what the younger son did was very, very final. He effectively burnt his boats by wishing his father dead and then by squandering the money. And yet, the father waited for him, waited patiently. He waited watching for him, longing for him to come back. And when he came back, the father ran to meet him. As I said earlier, it would have been very unseemly for him to run. But also, by running to him, he prevented the other people from seeing that the son was back. And so he saved the younger son from his shame. So then this ceremony to make him an outcast would not take place. Now, we heard some wonderful things about our dads here today. But what that father did for the prodigal son is quite something as well. The elder son, the elder son sulks, doesn't he? And I don't know, what would we do to the older son? Send him to his bedroom while he got his act together, or put him on the naughty step? Maybe give him a bit of a slap and tell him to behave himself. But what does the father do? He goes out to the son and he talks to him and he explains to him what he's doing. For the father, the leader of the head of the household, the leader of the family, to leave the party and to go out to where his older son is, again, would have been absolutely unheard of. So Jesus is making a very definite point here about this father. He treats both his sons much better than they deserved, much better than the culture of the time dictated. And of course, there's a parallel, isn't there? Jesus was telling about a father who had two sons. But the parallel, obviously, is to God and us, his sons and daughters. That is how God will be with us. If we could have the first picture, Dave, please. It's come out a little bit dark, but hopefully you can make out. On the right hand of the screen, on the left hand side of the screen as you look, is the son. And in front of him, there's a pail of pig swill which has been tipped onto the floor, and there are the two pigs. Do we ever feel that this is us? That we are a long way from our father? That we are in the muck with the pigs? If you feel like that, then do as the son in the story did. Say, I will go to my father. And maybe it's not you who's in this place. Maybe it's somebody you know who's struggling with something. If that is the case, then maybe this is for you. Help the son, help the prodigal son to find the father, to find the way back home, to find the way back to the father who loves them, who longs to see them, who longs to welcome them back. And just take a look at this picture, the prodigal son. Note, if you can, the father's hands. They're not soft, clean hands. They're hands that are gnarled, that are showing calluses of hard work. They are hands that get dirty with us, which work with us. Look at the father's face. Look at the emotion in it. I don't know if you can see, but there's a tear forming in the corner of his eye. And he's holding on to that boy, isn't he? You can feel the pressure. You can see in the wrist. You can see that he's really hugging that boy. Because such is his love for that child. Even though the child has wished him dead and has squandered the family fortune, the father is overwhelmed with love and with joy that the child is back. Think about the child for a moment. He's probably saying, "Okay, Dad, you've made your point. You can let go now. You're embarrassing me." But the father is not going to let go. Our earthly dads may be the best dads in the world, but our Heavenly Father, the one who invites us to call him Abba, Daddy, he is just amazing. He is out of this world. He loves us no matter what we do. And if we turn away from him, he's there. He's waiting. He's longing for us to come back. Don't keep him waiting. I'd like just to take a moment to look at that picture. Mark's just going to play a short song, and then we'll stand and worship again.